Sorry, that was just my little vocal test of the audio. I thought I'd leave it in. You might enjoy it, might not, not matter. Welcome to the Paul Fax Diary Podcast, the week commencing the 19th of November. The 19th of November! Cecil's off on his honeymoon now, in the real world. Stupid son of a bitch. So I don't know who's going to upload this and put this on the website, because I'm not doing it. I don't know how to do it. I might be a big chunky virgin, but, you know, I don't know how computers work. Oof. Anyway, you remember last week, I was on a TV programme where a special needs gentleman dated a very beautiful woman, and I got to see her bum, and I got to touch her, then I was going to marry her, and just before I got to kiss her on the beautiful face, I told her that I didn't have Down syndrome, because she thought I did have Down syndrome, and that's probably why she chose me to be a husband. I told her, and she punched me, and then I ended up in hospital, because I just got beaten the shit out of me. So, I'll continue now on the 19th of November. Here we go. 19th. Oh. Cecil.
What?
You got to do the dates. You like doing the dates?
You want me to eat some date? What? Oh, your diary. Right, what? Want to go and watch Indiana Jones?
Please don't be posh. Please just read the dates and just sit. It's not a very long one, look. It's barely even a... it's a couple of pages. Just say that word there, Cecil.
19th of November.
Right. Cheers, you can go now, Cecil.
Thank you.
19th of November. The producers from the TV programme came round today with a cameraman. They wanted to do a follow-up interview and asked me why I did what I did. I basically just told them my life story. You know, the misery, the virginity, the blubber, the cola, the foods. Oh, my! And in the end, they seemed quite sympathetic. They said what I did was wretched and pathetic, and I was a rubbish, a pitiful creature. But they felt sorry for me. And I said, that's the nicest thing anyone said to me in quite a few days. And the producer got me to fill in a form so they could use my face in the programme. And he said he wasn't going to sue me for lying because it put a whole new angle on the show, which the TV executives were very, very happy about. It's going to air over Christmas. Quite looking forward to it, actually. Ooh, I hope the public backlash won't be horrendous. Cecil!
What?
Need you to come back and read the 20th of November, please.
Oh, Jesus Christ, what?
Just that bit, Cecil.
20th of November. Can I go now?
Yeah, you can go now, Cecil. 20th of November. Mum is talking to me again, unfortunately. She hopes I've learnt my lesson. And I said it was quite a good metaphor for being in a relationship. And she was like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you know what? At the start of the relationship, you pretend to be someone that you're not. You know, you do things for the other person that you wouldn't normally dream of doing. You know, then once you've got to know them, you show them your true self. And they usually run away hurt and crying. And Mum said that that was the most prolific thing that I've ever said. And Dad wanted to turn it into a song. Not sure it's true either, but you know, what would I know? I've never been in a relationship. Except with Teddy Watkins and his wife. Anyway, Eugene came round in the afternoon to see Dad. Apparently they've made great headway on the album while I've been away in London. The album had a reggae feel and was called If Wishes Were Candlestick Holders, I'd Give You a Candelabra. I asked them what it meant and they said they didn't really know. Shit. Cecil!
Oh, what now?
I need you to read out the 21st of November.
Oh, this is getting beyond a joke, my fat bastard. 21st of November.
Thank you. I managed to get out for a short walk to Tesco's today. They've got all the Christmas stuff in now. I'd totally forgotten about how close to December it's become. I just spent 40 minutes just looking at all the just decorations. Dad got quite upset with me, because, you know, he'd come in there. I wanted him to buy me an advent calendar, but he wouldn't. So I was very tempted to steal a tiny decoration of a Santa on a sledge inside a snow globe that I saw, but I thought I better not. I've not been a very good boy this month, and if I wanted Father Christmas to come, I'm going to have to start being a better boy, aren't I? In the evening, I started cleaning up my room ready for the Christmas onslaught. You know, I'd left a cup of milk on my desk before I went to London. Oh, it stank. Every day I've been thinking I should clean that up, it stinks. But I don't. When I finally removed it, the smell lingered. Just wouldn't go. Don't know why. It's probably my own fault for spilling it on the carpet and my mattress. And the door handle. Disgusting. Felt all lumpy, like cottage cheese. I was very tempted to taste it, but the smell put me off. Anyway, the smell don't matter anyway. No one comes in my room, so I'll get used to it eventually. I've been sad today. I'm still very, very much in love with Sunny. I can't get her out of my head. I think maybe one day she's going to rationalise what I did and see it as a romantic gesture and quite sweet. I've still got the phone number of the producer. So, you know, I could probably get in contact with her, and if I ever get drunk and brave enough, I probably will do. Says, oh, you're there.
Yes, 22nd of November. I preempted you.
Very clever, Cecil, very clever. It snowed today. Okaloo-kale. Not the first snow of the year. That was back in all those many months ago in January. Do you remember? I went for a walk, came back in bright red. Horrific time, looked like a walrus. Anyway, but this snow takes on a whole new glow. A new sparkly, fluffy, wondrous, angelic hue that I'm so very, very much in love with. Who would have thought that this could happen to a vile, ugly, chubby lad like me? I keep burping. I've confused myself with that sentence. I'm going to start it again, because I think I read that wrong. It snowed today, a kaloo-kale. It's not the first snow of the year. That was way back in those many long months ago. I need to burp. Oh, that's better. But this snow, well, this snow takes on a whole new glow. A new sparkly, fluffy, wondrous, angelic hue, now that I'm so very much in love with a woman. Who would have thought that this could happen to such a vile, ugly, chubby lad like me? Not Mum, as she keeps saying. Pal, you've got such an ugly fat face. Only a mother could love. But only just. But now Mum's harsh words over breakfast can't hurt me. My soul's alight with the love of a wondrous woman. Oof. You know, I still haven't washed my hand from where she touched it. I'd like to say it smells of her perfume, but I can't say that's the case anymore. It stinks of sweat, that rotten milk, and a little bit of my penis. I better go wash it. Settle that one there, please.
23rd of November.
Thank you. Only one short, magnificent month till Christmas. I won't be haunted by three ghosts, because I bloody love Christmas, me. And this year I think I'm going to have a girlfriend to buy presents for. You know, even if she hates me and never wants to see or hear from me again, you know. If there's one thing that Mum and Dad have taught me over the years is that if you've upset your partner, you need to go big and get them a massive present. Or they'll get in the right bloody mood. Oof, like Mum inevitably will do when Cecil presents her with a present. This year he's getting her the Argos catalogue. Unbelievable, just wrapping it up. Giving her the Argos catalogue. Not saying choose what you want, love. It's just that is your present. Unbelievable. I know she's going to ruin the Doctor Who Christmas special. I just know it. Anyway, I've got no money to speak of, so it looks like I'm going to have to sell something to raise the funds to buy Sunny a Christmas present. Because God knows my £5 a week pocket money's not going to get her very much. Now then, what do women actually like, actually? I've had to think, and here's a list of a few things I think I might have to buy a generic woman. Number one, diamond / gold ring. Number two, diamond / gold ear ring. Number three, chastity belt. Diamond or gold? Not sure. A DVD box set of Hello Hello, or Bread, or Heidi High, or Birds of a Feather, or Brush Strokes, or Watching. Or all of them. Number four, erotic loungewear. That's a peephole tabard, a peephole tracksuit, peephole leggings. A selection of carbonated beverages from around the world. You know, your Italian cola, your French cola, your German cola. They're all going to have subtle differences, aren't they? Actually, that's what I want, but I'd give it all up for my sugar pie dumpling.
24th of November.
The snow outside has mostly turned to ice. Mostly. It's also freezing in here. I've had to make Mum turn the heating up, or fashion me a duvet. I will have to make Mum turn the heating up, or get her to fashion my duvet into some kind of coat. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Excuse me a moment. Doesn't work in speaking, but it's just a load of gibberish typed there because I was trying to pretend to type with my duvet over the keyboard, if you know what I mean. Anyway, back to the reading. Blah, 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 blah. It's quite hard to type with this duvet on. Oh, that's better. I've just cut a head and armholes in my duvet now. It's like a big fluffy poncho, but with head and armholes. Because what I did was, I've sewn both the sides of the duvet together. Because, you know, I remember doing GCSE home economics for 2 years at school. I knew it would come in handy, and it has. Initially, I'd chosen that option because I was told that lots of low self-esteem girls will be taking up sewing and baking, but unfortunately a lot of the shy boys from school had heard that, and we all went for that class, thus meaning there was an abnormally high number of students wanting to take home economics, so they separated it into two classes, one boys, one girls. I learnt very little in those 2 years of classes, save for how to sew and how to make egg whites, and how to be bullied for taking home economics. They never even taught us how to balance a checkbook. You know, what kind of home-based economic system doesn't tell you how to do that? What, I mean, if that's not home economics, then what is the economy of a home? Balance a checkbook, you know, do your banking, work out how to pay bills, taxes, all that. Stupid. Actually, it sounds like a good idea for a song, doesn't it? And I guarantee that there's never been a song comparing what's learnt in home economics to financial economic systems until now. Oh God, it's an actual song lyrics here. I don't know if I ever did this. Let's have a look. No, never recorded it as a proper song, but I'm sure in my head I've got the tune, but I'm not going to sing it to you because that's silly. Anyway, this is the lyrics to the song I wrote for home economics. 1 pound of thriftiness, 2 pounds of pounds or less, 1 quart of saving up and money will fill your cup. Simmer your ice for 10 years. Save your money, no buying beers. Lend not unto a friend. In the end, you'll have lots of cash to spend. But those were not taught in home economics. We learnt to bake cakes or a tasty dish. We baked trays of biscuits with a hint of orange. We cooked... Oh, there's no rhyme for orange, is there? Buggered that one up. Baking isn't a financial system. I tell my bank, but they just won't listen. My overdraft can't be paid off with cake. And this icing money is obviously fake. Oof. I don't know if they give Pulitzer Prizes for songwriting, but if they do, I'm a shoo-in. You know, on one hand I've got society, and in the other hand I've got a mirror, and I'm holding up the mirror to society and showing it what it thinks of itself. Maybe. Not in reality, though. In real life, in one hand, I've got a bag of crisps. And in the other hand, while I'm not typing this diary, I'm picking my nose. I think that song needs work, if I'm honest. 25th of November. I've been going mad thinking about Sunny. Everywhere I go, I see her. But that's probably because Mum has cut out dozens of pictures of her from magazines and stuck them all around the house. But she's drawn angry eyebrows on all the pictures and written the words, "You're horrible," in speech bubbles above her head. It's horrible, isn't it? All came to a head at lunchtime when Mum walked in on... when I walked in on Mum wearing some kind of homemade mask. And she started dancing around the room saying, "Oh, Paul, why don't you marry me? Go on, you love me." "But I think you're disgusting and horrible." And I just ran out of the room crying. I went into Mum and Dad's bedroom and I got Mum's mobile phone. And I rang the producer. Because obviously he's blocked my phone. I tried ringing him a few times. And it just comes up with... I don't get through. Anyway, I used Mum's phone and demanded to speak to Sonny. And the producer just sat me down and said, she never wants to even think about me or hear from me again. She's moved to France and got a restraining order of 2 miles against me. And with that news, my heart shattered into 1,000 bits of dust. It was over. The only woman ever to have slightly shown any kind of interest in me, even if it was just for cameras, because she thought I had Down syndrome, has gone from my life. I began to weep openly and violently. I was just about to throw Mum's phone against the wall when it rang. I didn't recognise the number or the name, and a voice just said, "Hello, Margaret, my little chicken dumpling. Tell Cecil you're going to the bingo and come here and I'll give you 2 little ducks. I screamed and hung up the phone. I think he said ducks. Don't know what's going on. The man's accent was quite posh. and as you may or may not know, Margaret had a tryst with a man called Clive, who was very posh. And that's when Mum and Dad split up. I hope she's not cheating on Dad. He's going to be as heartbroken as I am. Terrible news, terrible. Obviously, I didn't tell Mum he'd rang, but I did give her a foul look when I went back into the living room 4 hours later. She was watching a Crossroads video, and she turned it off as soon as I walked through the door. I think an erotic part was coming up. Not that Crossroads was particularly erotic, but some of those home perms in it were just a bit... they always get me going, no matter how heartbroken and lovesick I am. Anyway, that's all for this week's Dear Diary. Bit short, I know, but, you know, as I keep continually saying, you're not paying me for this. And what are you going to do? Send me an advent calendar in the post. You can get a pork scratch in advent calendar now. Have you seen that? I've seen it. Want it. Can't have it. Don't know why. Anyway, have a good week. I'm going to go think about Cecil being in America. If he's in America. Silly old ball cooned. Bye.
What was that?
That was my big band version of the podcast music. Podcast music, Cecil.
Right, we're doing this again, are we?
That's right. Just going to pop you under some metal early there. Oh, yeah,
that was too loud. No one will have heard that, what you said there, Paul.
I was just talking about some irons. Jeremy Irons.
You weren't.
I was, sister. I was.
Stop sounding like Wurzel Gummidge.
Oh, I don't want to.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're ending the year of podcasts, or coming to the end of the year of the podcasts.
What's that, though? Oh, do you want a cup of tea besides a cake?
If they ever do recast Wurzel Gummidge, I think you should play it, Paul. Your big fat smiling face would be nice.
And I could bum and Sally.
Paul, this is disgusting.
I will be disgusting.
Shut up.
Sorry, Cecil. So sorry. Right, I'm going over here and getting a bowl out.
You're not doing a recipe on how to cook macaroni cheese again, are you?
Look, it's the only meal I can cook, so just shut up. All right, Cecil.
No, not all right. I'm sick of hearing it.
Christmas puppies are woofing and a chuffing. Huffing and a puffing. Biffing and a puffing.
Woo-hoo-hoo! It's homelogic.co.uk. What've they come for?
I don't know. Have you got a delivery coming, Cecil?
Yes. I expect my mannequin head for my new toupees to be coming soon.
Oh, toupee mannequin heads.
Yes, it's the main Christmas present for Cecil. I've got an assortment of heads and toupees coming from China, Paul. I've gone oriental.
All right, just open the door. Shut up. Hello?
Hello, my toupee heads.
They're Cecil's toupee heads, they're not our toupee heads.
I'm talking about, here they are.
Can you carry them in for me, please?
Oh, bloody hell. Come in then.
Just pop them down there, that. Thanks, duck.
Oh, what's that smell?
Just cooking some macaroni cheese. If you'd please, a macaroni cheese, it's enormous.
All right, I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Get inside, Christmas puppy.
She's a woofing and a chuffing and a biffing and a buffing. And,
You just talk. That's the Pussington. Ow. Hello, New Year's Eve kitten. How are you doing today?
He's doing nonsense and meowing and winking at me.
You ginger shit. Why are you rocking?
This is boring, Paul.
Sorry. So sorry.
So, Cecil, why don't you tell the ladies and gentlemen about... Oh, we've heard about my wedding to that woman. Why don't we tell them about your real full wedding, Cecil?
Well, I can't. It hasn't happened yet.
Ooh. What hopes, dreams and nightmares are you expecting?
I don't know. I'm fully expecting your mother to make a right cock-up of it. Coming round, being aggressive at me. Saying, why haven't you got those baubles on the tables like I ordered, Jotto?
Man.
Oh, she'll moan at my choice of chantilly mushrooms when she wanted chicken of the woods. Mushroom fungus, yes.
She's not having that, so that sounds like a vegan food.
Yes, your mother has gone vegan for the wedding, Paul.
But why? She's not vegan any other time of the year.
She wants everybody to suffer.
But I don't think they do suffer, Cecil, the vegans. I think they're quite the wide array of the snacks, nibbles and tribbles.
You can't eat a tribble, Paul. They're alive creatures.
They're just balls of fur, Cecil. They'd be like eating big hairy candy floss. Cotton candy. Dot cotton candy.
I often wonder what the pubic hair of Dot Cotton looks like. Probably very depressed.
Cecil, what are you talking about? That's not nice to talk about on a podcast. Some old lady labia.
Yes, well, I think about it a lot.
Dot Cotton's flaps.
Paul!
Well, you brought it up, Cecil. Careful cutting the cheese, Cecil.
Now I'm cutting a pilgrim's choice extra mature cheddar. I prefer the maturity of my cheese to match that of myself. The last thing you ever want is some immature cheese. Cottage cheese should just be banned. Disgusting matter. Who thought that was a good idea? Who thought, the mountains.
Cottage cheeses. Look, you stupid ginger flip. Stupid ginger cat walked away just as I was putting some cheese to his face. Christmas puppy. Do you want a chunk of cheese? She does want a chunk of cheese. Shocking. Oh, macaroni. You're not baloney. But come and rub at my shin. It's just below my knee now. Oh, macaroni. Someone blow me. Oh, I've gone bawdy. Good.
Disgusting song, Paul.
You say all my songs are disgusting, Zethel.
I do, yes. Because they are.
Right. Well, just put that on to simmer.
Simmer on a zimmer. That's what I like to do.
You don't, Cecil. Just put you under a ring box.
What are you doing, Paul?
I wanted to sing them a song, Cecil. Sing a song of sixpence. A pocket full of poo.
Go on, then.
All right, then I will, Cecil.
Ow.
New Year's Eve kittens prohibiting me. Oh, you ginger bastard.
Christmas puppy, don't eat that cat litter.
Hello. Where you going, little lady on a sleigh? Christmas time.
Shut up!
And then it played Mission Impossible apropos of nothing.
Now I'm just walking round whatever this house is called. It's not Glory B, it's not Christella. I don't know what was named by a fella. I want to go see Othello.
That didn't work at all, Paul.
It didn't, did it? I do apologise for that. I do apologise for that, Aunt Sally.
What was I saying?
I don't know what you were saying, Cecil. And I don't know what I was saying. I've literally forgotten in the walk from the front room back to the kitchen. Something about the house. Must be Christmas soon. I wanted to be Christmas soon.
It's not even cocking Halloween yet, Paul.
Well, in that case, I'm going to put the podcast listeners on some tomato ketchup. How do they feel about that? They're indifferent and just listening with a gormless look on the face. Staring off blankly into oblivion. Maybe they're on a bus. Maybe they're just sat in the living room. Maybe they're doing a listen while they poo-poo. Maybe they're just struggling to get to sleep and my tedious monotone voice just gets them off to sleep. Maybe they're Sue Pollard being all hilarious and wandering round a little. I can't believe Sue Pollard would shop at a Lidl, but that's what the reports are telling me now. I obviously get a live feed of Sue Pollard's whereabouts every so often. And I'm being told she's been seen in a Lidl talking to herself, muttering utterances about what kind of pasta she'd like to buy. And I don't blame her. Imagine if you were Sue Pollard walking around talking to yourself. You'd be living in your own Sue Pollardy documentary. I wonder what that would be like. Oh, I'm Sue Pollard. I'm just going to put this cheese away. I'm going to walk it back to my fridge. I remember Paul Shane. I'm just going to put it back in the fridge and walk, return to my kitchen. Because I'm Sue Pollard and I wear it. Madcap glasses. I have a fond memory of Ruth Maddock once. She would let me wear a yellow coat. Penny crayon, she can draw anything she wishes. From cats and dogs and shits and tits and plates of chips and fishes. But I don't remember the words because I'm Sue Pollard and that period of my life has been and gone. I might go shopping in
Waitrose. But I can't afford it. The work's dried up. That's what happens when you sue Pollard. One of the world's biggest celebrities in the 80s, but where am I now? They won't even have me on Loose Women. Oof, don't want to go on Loose Women anyway. Bunch of saggy vagina dolls, clucking hens. Loose in every sense. At least, that's what one of the Nolans tells me. I might go stare at my own bottom in the mirror because I'm Sue Pollard. I'm very, very sexual.
Paul, that was a stream of nonsense and frippery.
I know. Cecil. Oh, more toupees. Less toupees. They're taking some of your toupees away, Cecil.
Get off. Shut up.
Nobody there.
Ginger fool. Oh, hello.
Hello, Cecil.
No, I'm Ruth Madduck.
Ruth Madduck, the Welsh one from Heidi High.
Yes, that's right. I'm Ruth Madduck.
Cecil, that's terrible. You sound almost Indian.
I don't. I sound like Ruth Madduck, a Welsh woman. I wanted to join in on your Sue Pollard documentary. Maybe Ruth Madduck could come round for Sunday brunch. Maybe she could go on Sunday brunch.
Oof. I think she'd be punching above her weight if she went on Sunday brunch. Brunch, eh? Oh, Cecil the kitten might be shitting. I know he's just having a dig in his sandpit.
It's not a sandpit, Paul. It's a cat litter box. They do poo-poos in there.
Oh, right.
You should learn to clean that up, Paul.
Should I, though? Oh, he's scooping and a-pooping, I think, Cecil. Get a poo bag ready. He's just going through. Oh, he's pooing. There's a pooing.
Right, what you do is you get a poo bag. As soon as the stool has been laid, hot and steamy as you like, you scoop it up in your poo bag. Come on, Maundy Mundy kitten. He's doing a big plop just as I'm ready to serve up Paul's macaroni cheese platter.
Now he turns to look at the stool. He inspects it like a finish. You check the anus. Oh, it stinks. He desperately tries to bury it because he's embarrassed because he's from the Victorian era, apparently. Oh, that's got a tang to it, Cecil. Get rid of it.
Yeah, Cecil gets rid of it because Cecil's responsible. Yes, you walk it to the front door and throw it as hard as you can into next door's garden. Here we go. Yunk! Yes, oh, he's not gone out. Idiot. Paul!
What?
I hope you're going to clean up the smell.
I'm going to wander around with my own smell, and that'll mask his smell. Oh, God. She's woofing and a-chuffing her tits, I think she's settled.
Yes.
Well, thank you for listening to me and Cecil have a nice conversation in the kitchen. This has been Kitchen Conversations with Paul and Cecil, coming to you live from whatever this house is called, kitchen. These are indicative of the communications we normally have with each other whilst one of us prepares a meal.
The same meal, Paul, that's not a meal. Shut up!
It is, Cecil. Jesus Christ.
You couldn't do this if you had children, Paul.
Shut up!
Don't shout at the dog.
Where's he pissing then, right? Doing a woofing. Woofing at the wind.
Woof at your wind. It's disgusting.
Cheers, you're right, Cecil.
Maybe if you did more washing up, you would have a condiment.
Not a condiment I need, Cecil. It's cut a lorry.
Right. Well, thank you for listening.
Join in next time with me and Cecil talking absolute shit. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Bye.